We talked about Ruth last week. Ruth chapter 1, went through there. What a blessing book of Ruth is. Ruth being a picture of the church, a type of the church. And well, we looked at all kinds of types in here. And Boaz, we know, is a type of God and the type of Jesus Christ. And we know that Naomi can be seen as a type of Israel. Let's look at Ruth chapter number 2 today. In verses 1 through 3, it says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." So here again, Naomi can be seen as a type of Israel, and Boaz a type of Christ. And Christ, here we are looking at this, talking about this family member of Elimelech's, which is Boaz, and we know that type of Christ. Christ is of the Jews, amen? So we can see these light types all the way through, and then we can see some real heavy types. Obviously, Ruth is a type of the Bible, or type of the Bible, excuse me, a type of the church in the Bible. Not a type of the Bible in church, type of church in the Bible. And we talked about that at length last week. In verses 4 and 5, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this?" Now here we have Boaz with the Jews, and he looks and he notices the Moabite woman, the Ruth. And that's what he did with us. He was looking at the Jews, dealing with the Jews, and he notices the Gentiles. Isn't that something? And then he ends up turning to the Gentiles for a period of time. We know that God's not through with the Jews, with this church age here. And what a blessing as we look at these pictures. In verse 6 it says, "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." Realized that she was not one of his people. Now God looked at us and realized we weren't one of the Jews, but he still decided to love us. Isn't that something? Now I understand that the Bible says it's to provoke them to jealousy, but either way, he loved us. Amen. Amen. And he's making them jealous with us, but he still blessed us with eternal life and blessed us with a Bible and blessed us. Praise the Lord. In verse number 7, "And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house." Now turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Here she is gleaning in the field. And in Matthew chapter 7, let's start in verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Wait a minute, did I get the right one here? 15. Matthew 15. So we just looked about her gleaning. Just looking to glean. Verse 21 of Matthew 15. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Now right here's another picture of the type of the church. And we're looking back in Ruth, and she's picking up the gleanings. And what are the gleanings? That's the stuff that falls off the regular harvest part. And she's just picking up the extra. That's another reason she's a type of the church. Here's another type of the church in the Syrophoenician woman. She says even, you know, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So there's another way we line that up to see that that's a type of the church. And back in Ruth chapter number 2, verses 8 and 9, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. So he says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. So he accepted her, and he told her to stay focused on his field. Now, even though we weren't Jews, he looked at that woman, that Moabitish woman, and he noticed her, and she asked him to be blessed to be able to glean in his field. He accepted that, and then he tells her to keep her eyes on his field. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to keep our eyes on his field. The fields are white for harvest, right? But the laborers are few. He's telling us to keep our, he's telling her, and he tells us as church-age Christians to keep our eyes on his field. See, it's so easy to get our eyes off other, on other things. But we see this type over and over and over again in Ruth, the type of the church. In verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Look at the humility and the worship. And that's where we, that's how we get saved. We realize we're nothing and we're in trouble and he's everything. And we bow down and we ask him to forgive us and save us. And it's all about him. And see, that's where most of strife comes in. You know, when Paul's talking to Corinthians about envy, strife, and division, it's all based on pride. I'd suggest that you're going to have a hard time convincing me that you can find this sin that's not connected to pride. You're just not going to do it. Anything that man does wrong is because he deserves to do it. In his mind, it's pride. There's always pride mixed in with sin. The devil gets kicked out of heaven because of pride. He loses his position because of pride. Comes down here and starts stirring things up, gets Eve because of pride. If you don't believe he did, check it out in chapter 3 of Genesis. She looked at it. She desired it, saw it was something to make her wise. And the next thing you know, she deserved it, so she had to take it. And then Adam, he takes it. It's all pride. It's all pride-based. Here she is in humility and worship, and that's all religion is pride. Yep. I can be good enough. Yep. I can do good enough. God's going to have to let me in. And the truth is, true religion and undefiled, we know, has nothing to do with what man's doing to get their way to heaven. It's taking care of widows and orphans. It has nothing to do, according to the Bible, it has nothing to do with our works. True religion is taking care of the things God calls to take care of. But that relationship with him, that takes humility. It takes, you have to come to a point where you realize that we're nothing. And that's what she does. She's gleaning. And then she bows down and says, why would you even think of me? Now that's a heart that can be used of God. And that's what we have when we get saved. That's what we should have after salvation until he calls us out of here. Why? Why? I still can't figure out why he'd save us. What reason would anybody look at us that's holy and say, all right, like you say, it's mercy. It's all mercy. It's all grace. He's a merciful God, a gracious God. And like I said earlier, he did call us as a church, in the church age. He called the church out to provoke the Jews to jealousy. But he didn't just save us and just say, yeah, I'm going to take you to heaven. He loves us every day. And he's continually merciful. You know, mercy is a big part of it. So she, in humility, she fell down and worshiped Boaz, saying, why? Why would you, her heart, she had a heart to worship. And that's what we need, a heart to worship. Just showing up and going through the motions and doing tradition is not what God expects. He wants us to have a heart to worship. That's what, you know, takes us back to what we were talking about earlier. Who wants a church full of people that has to be there? People want to be there. Church services are different when people want to be there. And have you ever noticed sometimes when somebody leaves, the church service is different, and it's not because of them necessarily, like they were doing anything. It's just there's a spirit of not them not wanting to be for whatever reason. And then when they leave, it changes. It does. And it's not bad on them. It's maybe God's moving them to someplace else, but that's the way it is. And you know, when you come in here because you have to, it's different than when you come in because you want to. Amen. And we all have come in at one time or another because it's Sunday or Wednesday, and that's what we do. Yeah. Then other times, like, can't wait to go to church. Amen. Jim's always on that. Praise the Lord. But I mean, it's different because you're expecting God to do something. It's a good thing. And verse 11 and 12. And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been shewed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." There's a couple things I want to talk about before we get really into the meat of these two verses. But remember, last week we talked about the fact that Orpah and Ruth both made a decision. Orpah's decision was to go back to Moab and Moab's gods. And Ruth made a decision to go with Naomi, but it wasn't because of Naomi. She wanted Naomi's God. And that's what made the difference. And we know we talked about that because she went back and she said, "Where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And where you die, I'll die." So even after Naomi passes on, she plans on staying there because there's something in that land that wasn't in her land. It was God. She didn't want to go back to the gods of the Moabites. She'd already seen, even though they had food when the famine was in the camp of Israel, when they were having famine, they were still missing something in Moab. Even in famine, God's people have something that Moab can't have. And that's Him. So when we get to verse 11 and 12, her faithfulness to Naomi. Now remember, I said Naomi can be seen as a type of Israel. There you go again. Because of her faithfulness to Naomi, Ruth, a type of the church, because of her faithfulness to Naomi, she's going to be recompensed of God. What's God say about Israel? Bless him, bless thee. Curse him, curse thee. He blessed this nation like he blessed no other nation because we stuck with Israel. And then we started getting these folks running things that didn't stick with Israel, and you notice things start coming apart. I'm not saying that's the only criteria, but that's one of the main ones. Another thing is the people that knows how to repent and pray and get back with God. But Christianity and people that love this book and love the Lord and understood blessing Israel would be a blessing to this country. The reason God's dumped out the blessings on this country. And again, Naomi here, we can see, is a type of Israel. And Ruth is going to be blessed for sticking with Naomi. I'm telling you, it just doesn't get any better than that. As far as a type, that's amazing stuff. Now, if you look over to Romans chapter number 7, he also mentioned something in 11. He said, since the death of thy husband. So in Romans chapter number 7, verse 1, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." So if you go back over there, he says, since your husband died, now she's a picture of the church, right? So she's not under the law. He's just talking about dumping out grace on her, and he is dumping out grace. It's a picture of the church. When you're under the law, you're under the law. But once you're saved, you're not under the law anymore. The law's dead. You're dead to the law. You're alive in Christ. And that's another type we can see there in the book of Ruth in chapter number 2. Another picture of that type. Another thing to add on to the typology. In chapter number verse number 13, it says, "Then said she, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. though I be not likened to one of thine handmaids. So there's again shows her submission and humility to Boaz. And Boaz, verse 14, said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. So there he fed her. And that's another picture of Christ in the church. Boaz feeding Ruth, and the way he feeds us. Hey, he give us food. Amen. And it's kind of like the Holy Spirit's the spoon. Just kind of feeds you this Bible. And helps you discern truth, scripture on scripture, by the grace of God through His Spirit. But there's a picture of Christ feeding the church, and He is the bread of life. Amen. And we get our strength and we get our sustaining power from His Word, the Bible. Let's see, 15 and 16. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So above and beyond what she ever expected. Hadn't God blessed us above and beyond what we ever expected? I mean, just if you just got saved, and that was all you got, I mean, I almost feel bad about saying it that way, but that was it. He didn't deal with you anymore. One day he'd call you to heaven. Good luck. That'd be more than we could ever imagine. Look, he keeps dumping out blessings on us. Isn't that something? What a God. What mercy and grace He shows us. So above and beyond what she ever expected, Boaz dumped out on Ruth. 17 through 19. So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw that what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she shewed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. So we see she has this blessing. Ruth has this blessing being dumped out by Boaz, which is a type of Christ dumping a blessing out on a church. And that blessing goes back to Naomi, which is a type of Israel. Isn't that something? Isn't that a beautiful picture of the church in Israel? And then we've got fools running around saying that God's through with Israel and the church has replaced Israel. But you have to throw Daniel chapter 9 out. You have to throw the book of Revelation out. You have to throw the book of Romans, especially Romans chapter 11 out. And you have to throw a lot of Bible out. God's not through with Israel. God's why would He use us to provoke Israel to jealousy if He was done with them? What's the purpose? He'd just smoke them and be done with them. But He's not. He's going to turn back to Israel. And He blesses the church, and the church blesses Israel, just like Boaz to Ruth and Ruth to Naomi. Now look at 20 through 23. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So there it is. She was to stick with him until the end of harvest. What are we doing? We're trying to stick with Christ until he raptures us out of here, and which we're looking for soon. Amen. I don't know how soon, but I think it could be any time. And boy, it looks like things are sure gearing up that way. They're sure gearing up that way. Like I said the other day, I don't know why he would choose us to pull us out of here in the rapture, but I'm excited if he does. And if he don't, I'm still excited we're going to heaven. Amen. But the book of Ruth, by the grace of God, if it's his will, we'll go through chapter 3 next week. And pray for me, pray for you, and we'll see what the Lord gives us for next week. Amen. I'm excited to get into the chapter number 3 of the book of Ruth. And next week, Lord willing, we'll get into chapter number 4. But we had dealt with chapter number 2 last week. There was one thing I wanted to mention about chapter number 2. We had looked at that, and remembering that Ruth is a picture of the church, a type of the church, and Boaz is a type of Christ. And Boaz was offering Ruth to glean in his field. Now, if you turn to James chapter 1 real quick, we'll finish up the little bit we have left on chapter 2. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, what was Boaz doing? He was taking care of a widow. And he's a picture of Christ. True religion and undefiled has Christ-like, is a Christ-like, a picture of Christ. And Boaz is a picture of Christ, a type of Christ. So he was taking care of a widow. And we know, we had talked before about that widow and the heir. Like if the brother dies and there's no child, that the other brother would marry that widow. Well, she didn't have any brothers to offer. Naomi didn't have any brothers to offer. Boaz is one of the next of kin. But he is showing that what pure religion is. He's taking care of a widow. He's not even thinking about her in that way of being next of kin. He's just being kind to her. He's just loving her, somebody that's in a bad spot. And boy, that was Christ with us, huh? We were in a bad spot. You don't get in a worse spot than being lost and on your way to hell. Yep. And Christ looked at us and said, you know what? I'm the only one that can help them. And even the dogs eat of the crumbs of the master's table, amen? That's us. We're taking crumbs. We'll take the crumbs, Lord. Amen. You know, give us the leftovers. Yep. We realize it's not about us, it's about Israel. Yep. That's God's chosen people. And in pride, a lot of times people say, well, we replaced Israel. We didn't replace Israel. Yep. We're just taking crumbs from the master's table, amen. And I'm not saying that there's anything to slight anything Jesus Christ had done for us, but he came for them, amen. And they rejected him, and it's a sad thing that they did, but praise the Lord that he turned to us to provoke them to jealousy. I'm glad we're in, amen. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that put us there, and it's his mercy and his grace and his love for Israel, actually. You think about it, he could have just said, I'm done with Israel, but instead he said, I'll provoke them to jealousy with a people that's not even a people. And praise God for that. Amen. Good night. I'm glad we didn't have to be worthy, because he's worthy. In chapter number 3, back in the book of Ruth, it says, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. So when we're looking at the threshing floor, that's where grain was separated from the stalk. You know, it's the threshing floor. And then by beating the plant, old day, it was by beating the plant on a rock or a hard surface to separate that grain from the stalk. Now, I just think that's interesting, because we're looking at types and pictures here, and Jesus Christ separates the wheat from the chaff. And it takes a rock to do that, a solid place, and he's our rock. The winnowing, it talks about he winnoweth in the threshing floor, and that winnowing is allowing the wind to blow away the waste, the chaff, and that grain to fall to the ground. They would take handfuls of that and they'd toss it in the air, and that wind would blow that chaff and that excess away, and then the weight of the grain would fall to the floor, land on that solid surface. That's us. We're that grain on that solid surface. Jesus Christ is our solid surface. And he was at that threshing floor, winnowing, and boy, oh boy. I'm excited. Maybe you'll rapture us out here tonight. You start looking at the book and you start looking at this, you know, separating the wheat from the chaff and the winnowing and the rock and the, you know, Ruth and the church and Boaz and Christ. And man, oh man, I'll tell you what, I'm ready to go. Amen. They can keep this junkyard, amen. Amen. Hey, Lord's going to fix it all one day anyway, but we won't be here. We're going to be gone. We're going to be out of here, amen. We won't be here much longer, I don't believe. But the threshing floor and the winnowing, that's an interesting thing. In verse number 3, it says, "Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he hath done eating, until he shall have done eating and drinking." So wash thyself, anoint thyself, and put thy raiment upon thee. She's preparing for Boaz. That's a picture of the church being prepared for Jesus Christ. A bride adorned for her husband, talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about the washing of the water by the word, talks about him washing his church up and preparing the church for him to present to himself a church without spot or without blemish by the washing of the word. And that's what we're looking at here. Wash thyself, anoint thyself, put thy raiment upon thee. Sounds like somebody's getting ready for a big deal, amen? We're getting ready for a wedding. And prepare for Boaz's church is to prepare for Christ. Wash thyself. There we go with it. We know that's by the word. We should be preparing ourselves by the washing of the word, the water by the word. Anoint thee. There's that couple different things to see about the anointing, being Holy Spirit led. Because anointing is always connected with oil and the Holy Spirit in the Bible. But there's also that anointing of oil that ladies back in that time weren't a lot different than ladies this time. They put things on them to make themselves smell better, amen? They had oils that had different scents. So she's making herself more presentable for Boaz. And that should be our goal, to make ourselves more presentable for Jesus Christ. Now, I understand at the rapture, he's going to fix everything. But we're supposed to be working toward that now. And then to put thy raiment upon thee, presenting differently for Christ. She was presenting differently for Boaz. She was probably wearing some type of clothes that they wore when they were in mourning because she lost her husband. And now she's going to put her attire on for Boaz. And, we were pretty much married to the law until Christ saved us. And now we're dead to the law. It's dead to us. We are in Christ, and we're waiting for that day. He'll call us out of here. But we should be washing by the book. We should be anointing. We should be led by the Spirit. Our lives and our actions, our reactions, our existence should be a sweet smell to Jesus Christ instead of the stench in his nostrils. And we'll praise the Lord we can get clean by this book and the Holy Spirit. If we're led by the Spirit, if we're actually following the Spirit in that still small voice, our lives will be a blessing to him instead of him just shaking his head going, wow. And then put on thy raiment, presenting yourself differently for Boaz like we present differently for Christ. When people look at us, they should see somebody different. They should know there's somebody that's getting ready for something. There's something different about this person. When Ruth went to Boaz, people would have been able to look at her and say, something different about Ruth. Amen? She's looking different. She's got a smile. She's got a spring in her step. She just smells clean. She looks fresh and clean. And boy, she does look beautiful. I wonder where that man is, that man that's waiting on her. And we're waiting on Jesus Christ. Boy, the world should see us differently. Should see us not looking like the things of this world, like the world. In verses 4 and 5 it says, "And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do." So there we see Ruth at Boaz's feet, which is a picture of us at feet of God, at the feet of Christ. And I like that last part of verse 4. It says, "And he will tell thee what thou shalt do." So she's going in there, she's going to lay at his feet, and he's going to tell her what to do. And if we'll just get at the feet of the Lord, we'll know what to do. And the problem with people, saved folks, is we don't spend any time at the feet of the Lord. And when we don't spend, when we do, everything's good. But when we fail to, then it's panic and fear and uncertainty, or we don't know when to act or how to act or when to not act. But she was going in to the feet of Boaz. And in verses 6 and 7, she does that. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. So there's a submission. She's at the feet of Boaz, submitted to Boaz. And that should be us. Submitted to the Holy Spirit of God, submitted to Jesus Christ, submitted to this book. And we don't have any excuse not to, because we've got the book, we believe the book, we know the answer is in here to everything that we'd ever need. We don't have any reason that we shouldn't be able to submit, other than just that old nature, that rebel nature that we have, that wants to go against what's right. But then again, it's which one you're feeding that's going to have the strength to defeat the other one. And if we're feeding the spiritual man, the new man, the old man's going to end up losing the battle. But boy, if we don't, the world has got a smorgasbord of garbage for the old man to build him up and just control everything. But the old man shouldn't be in control. It should be the new man. So Ruth is at Boaz's feet, submitted to Boaz. In 8 and 9 it says, "And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." So he asks who she is, and she says, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid." I'm yours. Thine. I belong to you. I'm your handmaid. And then she says to spread that skirt over her, and that's a beautiful picture of Christ covering us with his robe of righteousness. If somebody would have walked in at that point and looked, they would have seen Boaz. They wouldn't have seen Ruth. She was covered by Boaz's garment. That should be us. When they look at us, they ought to see Christ. They ought to get a picture, a type, an idea of Christ by looking at us as Christians, as saved folks. Amen. Just a wonderful thing. We're covered with Christ's robe of righteousness. And boy, you know, you go back 40, 50, 60, 70 years, people didn't have to say, "I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian." People go, "You've been following that book. You're one of those people like Jesus Christ." You know, now everybody's like, "I'm a Christian, are you a Christian?" Should we have to ask? Isn't that sad? Are you a Christian? Now, every once in a while, somebody, like I was talking to, I don't remember what, some company on the phone, and a young, sounded like a black lady on the phone, and she was talking real respectful. I said, "I bet you're a Christian, aren't you?" And it was, I wasn't really guessing. I pretty much knew she was after I talked to her for a little bit. And she goes, "I am." And I said, I thought maybe you were saved. She goes, "I am saved." I said, "Praise the Lord." But you could tell. But it's not always that way. It should be that way. Amen. Everybody that's saved, you ought to be able to go, "Well, you're saved. But instead we're like, I don't know if you belong to God or the devil the way you're living. Yep. Amen. That's a sad thing. Yep. You know. Done whoring around on your Savior. Mm-hmm. Yep. Bad deal. But times have changed, but the book hasn't. Amen. The book hasn't. Right's still right, wrong's still wrong. And we should still be like Ruth. We should still be washing ourselves in the Word and anointing ourselves, getting ready for Jesus Christ, putting on that raiment. Amen. So we look different. And boy, when he covered her up, nobody would have seen her. It was all Boaz. In 10 through 14, "And he said, Blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shewed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." So she wasn't going after the things of this world. And he made a comment about that. And that's another type of Christ in the church. We're not supposed to be going after the things that the flesh lusts after. because a young woman, he's an older man, she's a young woman, and he's going, you're not going after, you know, the young men, whether they're poor or they're rich. You're not chasing money. You're not chasing the lust of the flesh. You come in here because you want what's right. Amen? And Ruth was doing right, and he commended her for it. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And there it is again. We read about the virtuous woman in Proverbs. Talks about the virtuous woman. Praise the Lord for women that are virtuous women. That's a picture of the church. It's a type of the church. The church is supposed to be a virtuous woman. And that's what he's telling Ruth here. You're a virtuous woman. Boy, everybody knows you. He goes, I don't have any trouble accepting you and people, you know, linking me to you because you're a good woman. I wonder if God always looks down at us and say, well, that's my church right there. I'm proud of them. Or if he goes, yeah, anyway. But boy, I'll tell you what, he deserves for us to be doing right. And let's see, where were we at? And now it is, verse 12, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. So, once she is rightfully his, he's going to make her fruitful. Remember what the deal was in the beginning. When her husband had died and Naomi didn't have any more sons to offer, the brother would have taken her to wife and raised up children to the other brother's name. So he didn't have a brother, so now they're a near kinsman. So and there's another picture of the church and Christ. As soon as she is his, he's going to make her fruitful. So we belong to Jesus Christ, and he wants to make us fruitful. He wants us to reproduce, other Christians, other saved folks. Amen. Isn't it? There's a lot in this book of Ruth, isn't there? That, you know, that's amazing stuff in this book. 15 through 17. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it at her feet, on her feet. And she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Now this is interesting, because that is a picture of his acceptance of Ruth. And he's sending that picture back to Naomi to say, I've accepted Ruth. Now I thought that was very interesting, because I've never heard this before, but it just kind of hit me today. And if you turn to Acts chapter 10, we'll look at something real quick. Sometimes these types go a lot farther than you think they will. He sent this measure of grain back so Naomi would know that Ruth was accepted of him. In Acts chapter number 10, let's start at 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man for... What we've got going on here, remember the Jews required a sign. So the church was first started by Jews only. These Jews are getting saved, they're starting this church, and then they're starting to tell, well, the Gentiles are getting in too. So for the Jews to know the Gentiles were accepted, they give them that gift so they could see the acceptance. And that's what we're seeing in Ruth, is Ruth taking back to Naomi all that Boaz had given her, and her go, wow, he has accepted you. And it's a picture. It's just an amazing book. I love this book. It excites me. I'm telling you, I almost ran around the house twice today. I thought about that. I thought about Jerry there for a minute. I thought, man, he'd have happy feet too if he'd seen what I just seen, because I never seen that before. I've never seen that before. I love this book. Verse 18. Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." So sit still until. So there's patience waiting on Boaz. Now, we can say a lot about that. I mean, we're supposed to be patient waiting on Jesus Christ to come back for us. We're supposed to be busy about his business till he comes back. He'd be working while Ruth was waiting for an answer. In Psalm 46, patience is one of the things that we often struggle with. In Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth." So to be still and just wait on God. Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14, children of Israel are stuck between the Red Sea and Pharaoh, and they're panicking. And in verse 11, "And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." They're wanting to quit, and they're wanting to go back. They're wanting to go back to the world because they're not trusting God. And look what he says. "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today for the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And that's a lot of times we'll get nervous and we'll get impatient and we'll get anxious, and instead of waiting on God, we'll make a decision one way or the other. And it's the wrong one. 99.9% of the time it's going to be the wrong one, because God's saying sit still. And just like Naomi told Ruth, he'll do what he said he's going to do. You know, while you're waiting and you're fretting and you're worrying, he's doing the work. He's taking care of everything. So it's all in his hands, and that's another type of the church. I mean, we're waiting for him to call us out of here. And, you know, I'm still have relatives all the time. You know, is this the last day? Is the world going to end? And all this stuff. No, it's not. Again, we have at least 1,007 years before the world ends, but we got, maybe it could be seconds before he calls us out of here. But we're waiting on the rapture. But in the meantime, instead of running and doing something ahead of God, or running back to the world because we're afraid of something, he's saying, "Be still and know that I'm God. Just relax. I got this." You know, this world can't take your soul. It already belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. But we can sure make a mess of things by not being still and realizing he's God. Amen.